Riddle Scree, Screedle Leroy. Let's see now. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your friend, the Last Nighter, again, speaking from the what little theater now? I could make it the such and such little theater near the bustling little suburb of whatchamacallit. Of course, that's a little vague, but then it's a long vague to Tipperary, too. My gosh, I'm getting so I pull that stuff even when I'm talking to myself. Well, I wouldn't mind talking to myself if I'd ever say something interesting. Well, let's see. The little liar speaking from the last
Come
theater.
Come on, Twerp. Get the rehearsal started.
What was that? Is the joint haunted?
No, it's me, the technician in the booth.
Oh, Mr. Coffee Nerves, the boy comedian, eh? Well, I can't start the rehearsal until the rest of the actors get here.
Yes, they be actors. That'll take care of everything. Look, I got a gag for you.
Listen, you've still got a gag. I don't want any part of it.
Oh, yeah? Get this. Here's a rule I just thought up. Do you know the rope maker's song? This'll kill you.
Well, spread a mattress and get out of the way, then. So what's the rope maker's song?
Hempy days are here again. Oh,
hempy days. Well, it didn't kill me, but it sure crippled my sense of humor.
Oh,
hello, Annie. Hi, Elmer. Well, it's certainly nice of you lugs to come down to rehearsal. I'm not interfering with any of your plans, am I? You know, a little rehearsal wouldn't make this program any worse.
No, that's one thing about this program. Nothing can make it any worse.
Look, wait till we get into the script, will you? Well, Jerry Shelton may as well start punching his accordion while we're arguing about who's going to pull the funny lines.
If any.
Go ahead, Jerry. Sounded okay from where I'm standing, Jerry. Of course, the ending might have been just a wee bit too fortissimo. I'm a fine guy to tell you about fortissimo. I wouldn't know one if it walked over and bit me. That'd be news. Fortissimo bites man.
Come on, fancy pants. What about this rehearsal?
Well, you sure got me there. What about it?
Hey, what goes on here? Who are you talking to? A spirit? A disembodied voice?
Oh, it's nothing, really. I'm just talking to the technician, the guy in the booth.
Oh, I thought for a minute it was a voice without a body, but it's just a body without a brain.
Hey, listen, fresh game. You can't talk to me like that. I'm not another twerp, you know.
No, there's a surplus of that already.
All right. Let's have some quiet around here.
That must have been silence falling.
Isn't that awful? Hey, Oscar.
Yeah?
Are you doing anything?
Uh-uh.
Well, do it.
All right. Elmer, the man's ready.
You don't tell me.
I don't, didn't it?
Well, I reckon it was. But, you know, Oscar, I'm getting to a place where I don't believe nothing you say. You're getting to be the office life. You're a big fibber. Why don't you be like me? Never tell a lie.
I was just a-telling you what the feller told me. He said the fog was so thick that the fish just swam right out of the lake and into the fog, and after the fog blowed over, it left the fish high and dry in the trees, and fellers come out and hunted them with shotguns.
Oscar, don't never tell me no stories like that again.
You're just mad because you don't know nothing about fishing.
Oh, yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time I went fishing with a champion big fish puller out of Arkansas?
No.
Oscar, I made him look like a baby fishing in a goldfish bowl. Why, dad, blame it, I caught a fish with a piece of green thread and my bent pin that weighed hundreds of pounds, was 20 foot long, had scales on it bigger than Ma's horse tub, and teeth. Yeah, that fish had teeth like a chicken.
Gosh, Ma must have had trouble getting it into the frying pan.
Trouble? Oscar, that fish never even seen a frying pan. It was to the dad blame big we had to get the lumber gang to come down off the mountain with their big two-man's saws. It took them from sun up to sundown to get that fish in small enough pieces just to move it.
Not really.
Wise. Certainly. And the next morning, they come down with 25 teams of horses, a couple of tractors, and about 300 men, and skidded big hunks of that fish to dash down the forest. They sharpened telephone poles and run them through the pieces, stuck them up in the ground, set the whole dad blame forest on fire, and Oscar, to this day, folks back in Haney County is eating barbecued fish off of that little old fish I caught.
Hmm. Elmer, you know, that reminds me of the fish I caught in Goose Creek.
Now, Oscar, don't you go tell none of them big fish stories. That's just like Paul always said, honesty's the best life. Honesty's the best. Be like me, and I never tell a lie.
Hey, lay off, will you? Quiet, you guys. Hey, quiet, quiet, quiet. Now get this and get it straight. We're going to have a rehearsal or else.
Or else what?
Or else we're not going to have a rehearsal. Oh, come on, fellas, let's rehearse, huh? I got something I think you'll like.
Well, what is it?
Oh, you'll go crazy over it. It's called Dramas in Other Lands, or Ham and Eggs Always Go Together. It sort of shows the progress the little theater has made in other countries. Oh, it'll make your little eyes bug out, never fear. Hey, coffee nerves.
Yeah?
See if you can monitor this right once for a change. Come on, Jimmy, let's get this started before the cast changes their minds again. Curtain. Little Dramas in Other Lands. Canada. The little theater movement hits the town of Ennui in the form of an expurgated version of the children's hour. The scene? A little country schoolroom.
Quiet, children. Quiet, 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 or I'll bend your ears down. Time for our lesson in American history. Now, Rodney Plug, stand up.
Yes, teacher.
Name the last 10 American presidents for me.
What are American presidents, teacher?
What are American presidents? Don't you know who Wilson was?
Nuh-uh.
You know who Taft was?
Nuh-uh.
You know who Cleveland was?
Was his last name Ohio?
Scotland. The little theater movement in Aberdeen comes to rest for its initial performance in an old barn, with the audience located at a convenient knothole. They have selected for their first play that little gem of Scott's thrift entitled Money Makes the Mare Go, or Let Her Stand Still, Then. The scene, our usual hut in the heather.
It's a broad bricks and so forth, Fraser, and where have you been today?
Hootloss, I've been to the fair with Sonny McStuff, and I'm fair disgusted with them on. Such penuriousness I've never seen. The man so close his ears, Rob.
Well, what happened between ye and McStuff at the fair, Feather?
We lost, you can. We came in one of them punching bag machines where you put in a penny. And if you hit the machine hard enough, you get back your penny. So not would have it, but McStuff would try his luck. So when I come back 3 hours later, there was McStuff laying down in front of the machine.
No, Feather.
I lass, unconscious, with both arms broke.
Hey, coffee nerves, how'd the drama sound, okay?
Oh, it was all right, I guess.
All right? What do you mean, all right? You've heard worse dramas than that, haven't you? Hey, I said you've heard worse dramas than that, haven't you?
I was just trying to think.
You were just trying... This is where you bring in that last band number, Jimmy. He was just trying to think.